This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Republican Senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy have introduced yet another attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act, this time focused on giving money to states to start their own healthcare exchanges. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has asked the Congressional Budget Office to fast-track budgetary analysis of the bill. The GOP's deadline appears to be September 30th, when Republicans lose their ability to cast a simple majority vote. After September 30th, the party will need to muster at least 60 votes, a seemingly impossible task. There could be a vote on this new Obamacare repeal as early as September 27th. Senator John McCain, whose no vote sank the last repeal bill, says he may be on board with this one, but Senator Rand Paul has declared his opposition on the basis that it leaves too much of the Affordable Care Act in place. Bernie Sanders, who only days ago introduced his Medicare for All bill in the Senate, slammed this latest GOP repeal attempt as, quote, yet another disastrous Republican proposal to throw millions of people off health insurance. What are the chances of this new bill passing? And how does it compare to earlier attempts to destroy Obamacare? Joining me to help answer those questions is Dr. Carol A. Paris. She's the president of Physicians for National Health Program. Welcome to the program, Dr. Paris.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So how is this bill different from the earlier attempts to repeal Obamacare? Is Senator Rand Paul's criticism from the right accurate that it just leaves 90% of the Affordable Care Act in place?
Well, I don't know that it leaves 90% of it in place, but it does differ from previous attempts in one significant way, in that it really blocked grants much of the current money that's going to both of the Medicaid expansion and to the subsidies to the states. And by doing that, it actually, recall that 19 states originally did not accept Medicaid expansion. So by now taking that money and turning it into block grants that go to all 50 states, it creates a situation where states that didn't accept the expansion will be getting money, and states that did create the expansion will get significantly less money in these block grants. So that's one of the ways that it's very different from the previous Republican bills.
Now, Senator Bill Cassidy replied to Rand Paul saying the measure, quote, repeals the entire architecture of Obamacare and gives Kentucky control over its own health care, Kentucky being Rand Paul's state. This rhetoric is in line with the standard conservative notion that states' rights are more important than the federal government dictating to it. But does that betray that, what states would actually do with this money? I mean, would states actually simply be getting a grant that they will then fairly use to make sure every state resident has health care?
No, of course not. The states will make whatever decisions they make, and so they could put in work requirements, they could change the requirements for eligibility. There's all kinds of ways that they could play with that money in a way that is not at all in line with its intended purpose through the Affordable Care Act.
They could also, for example, make sure that women's access to abortion is not funded, and basically play politics with it. And we should also remember that a majority of states are controlled by Republican legislatures right now.
That is correct. So, and I also think it's really deceptive to say that by creating this block grant and giving more quote unquote freedom to states, that is significantly dismantling other aspects of the bill, of the ACA. I mean, I think in fact, some elements of the ACA will not be impacted. I am not aware that they're going after the tax subsidies.
Right. These are basically those subsidies that have helped low-income Americans actually get buy Obamacare plans, buy plans on the market through their state exchanges.
Yeah. Well, actually, now that I've said that, I want to backtrack. Mm-hmm. Those subsidies would be included in the block grant money. So the subsidies do go away.
Unless the state in question decides,
right, It gives the option to the state. It also gives the option to states to engage in, to basically opt out of the essential health benefits, which is really going to affect people who have benefited from the pre-existing condition elimination that was one of the essential provisions of the Affordable Care Act. They're not actually getting rid of that clause, but they are giving states the option to charge significantly more for people who are premiums to people who are sick over people who are healthy, which essentially does the same thing. They will simply make it financially impossible for sick people to get affordable premiums. And even in the BCRA, there was a requirement that if a state did that, they also still had to have an option on the exchange that met that requirement. That
this is the Better Care Reconciliation Act, which was the earlier version.
That's not in the Graham-Cassidy bill. It also, I understand, gets rid of the individual and employer mandates.
So basically this version of the bill, as far as we know, because it's still being analyzed, would be probably worse than what the Republican Party has offered in previous attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
I think it would be. And we haven't seen the CBO scoring, so we don't know exactly how many million people would lose insurance. But I think it's safe to say it's not going to be less than what the previous Republican bills estimated. And it's been a couple of weeks now. What was that, 22 million people on top of the 28 that we already have uninsured in this country? Mm-hmm.
What about Medicare? How would this new version of the bill make it harder for those people who did get that expanded access to Medicaid? Would it undermine Medicaid, people who receive Medicaid funding?
Well, it does. People who are getting traditional Medicaid funding, that is another aspect of this bill. It capitates that. Right now, enrollees, the funding is an open-ended funding, so that however many people in a state are enrolled, the funding is what is needed to meet their healthcare needs. What they're now proposing is to capitate that. So you get a per capita sum for each person who's enrolled. And that's really problematic.
Is that what, a lifetime cap?
No, that's an annual cap. Yeah. And so the annual cap is less than what we're spending now. That means that even people with traditional Medicaid, the states are going to be in a really difficult situation of how are they going to deal with an aging population? Remember, a large part of the traditional Medicaid dollars are going to long-term care. And now we're going to capitate that. I think the states are going to find themselves in a really difficult situation just trying to meet the long-term care needs of their citizens.
The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities is attempting to analyze this bill in the short time that it's been out. And that organization, too, says that there would be, as you said, millions of people pushed off of health insurance rolls. The Congressional Budget Office's estimate may be forthcoming soon, and Mitch McConnell has asked that office to fast-track this. And what do you expect the CBO to come up with? In previous analyses of previous repeal bills, the CBO has been pretty clear that the past attempts to repeal Obamacare would not be helping Americans. It would just be hurting Americans.
Well, I think that that's what they're going to come to this. I mean, the exact number of people that get eliminated, that get kicked off of insurance remains to be seen. But I think it's pretty safe to say it's not going to be pretty. Lots of people are going to lose the access to health insurance that they previously achieved for the first time, either through the Medicaid expansion or because of the subsidies.
Now, there was one set of analyses done by Andy Slavitt, who under President Obama ran the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and he tweeted a bullet point summary of the Cassidy proposal on Twitter, which has gone viral, and he basically posted that this, an estimated 32 million people will lose coverage within 10 years. It would end the Medicaid expansion, which is the healthcare that 11 million low-income Americans get, et cetera. I mean, this is a very lengthy list of bullet points, including ending cost-sharing payments to low-income Americans, as you said, ending federal protections on pre-existing conditions, targeting women's health and family planning. And the Senate is trying to pass this before September 30th, when, as I mentioned, that deadline for a simple up and down majority vote is September 27th is their goal to pass, to do a vote on this particular bill. And they've complained that the biggest problem with Obamacare was that Democrats rammed it through. Isn't this the GOP trying to ram it through with, what, just 51 votes?
Of course it is. And what did we see happen in July and August when they attempted to do this, both with the AHCA and the BCRA? I was among the protesters in Washington, D.C., who stood up and made it very clear that this is unacceptable. And I'm really heartened that that what I saw was truly a movement of movements. We saw the disability organizations coming together with the HIV/AIDS organizations, coming together with popular democracy organizations, labor organizations, physician organizations, all of them with a two-part message. And one is, we're not going to go backwards from the ACA. But the second part of the message was very clear. Going forward, we want Medicare for all. And I think the fact that Bernie Sanders has introduced his Medicare for all bill is just testimony to the fact that the American people are ready for true change. No more tweaking. It's time for real change.
In fact, do you think that this bill by the senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy might have been a last-ditch effort in response to Sanders' health care push, Medicare for All push? Trump tweeted right after this that Sanders introduced the bill saying, I warned this is what would happen if Republicans didn't repeal Obamacare.
Well, I don't think it's, I don't think this came up after Bernie Sanders. I mean, I think they've been working on this all along. Maybe the enthusiasm for it has been accelerated by the introduction of Senator Sanders' Medicare for All bill.
Now, the Republicans basically need almost every vote that they can get to pass this bill on September 27th. Already, as I mentioned, Rand Paul has said that he won't support it because it just doesn't go far enough. It's not cruel enough for Rand Paul, for which I suppose we should be thankful. So that's one vote that the Republicans have likely lost. If they just lose one more vote, it's not going to happen. And in previous attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, you've had a couple of female Republican senators oppose the repeal bills, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, and I'm wondering if you think they might be counted upon to oppose this one as well.
Well, I think that's quite possible, both because of the drastic impact on the Medicaid population, but also because I think both of them are pretty staunch supporters of women's reproductive rights. I was just in Alaska for 10 days speaking all around, well, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau in support of single payer. And it is—
That's Lisa Murkowski's state, yeah.
That is Lisa Murkowski's state, that is correct. So there's a growing movement in her state even for Medicare for All. But it is a state that accepted the Medicaid expansion, and they're very proud of their Medicaid expansion and the impact, the positive impact it has had for people in their state. So I don't think it's going to be an easy, it's going to be a tough sell for her if she votes for this bill, because the Medicaid expansion was very popular and has been very beneficial to Alaskans.
Well, I suppose we'll see what happens in the next few days. September 27th, again, is the date that the Senate is attempting to vote on the latest version of its repeal bill. And if that does pass, then, of course, the House would come up with its own bill. But the Senate is the real place where a bill is more likely to die. If it doesn't die in the Senate, then people are in real trouble, because the Republicans just have enough of a majority in the House that they would easily pass something, a similar bill, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we shall see how it all plays out. Carol Paris, give out a website for Physicians for a National Health Program.
Absolutely. It's pnhp.org.
That's pnhp.org. We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Dr. Paris, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
My guest has been Dr. Carol A. Paris. She's the president of Physicians for a National Health Program, and we've been discussing the Graham-Cassidy bill to repeal Obamacare. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.